Yep. I like the southern lingo, that's for sure. All right. We'll talk today about you can be free today. Don't that sound good? To be free today. You know, we postpone, I think, things from God, thinking that in His time things will work. And, of course, we need to wait on God's time. But there are also things that we can have now if we just believe God that, you know what, you did it for me now. I don't have to leave here the same way I came. I can be free today. What am I waiting on? You know, if you were in prison or incarcerated or been incarcerated, and somebody came to make bail for you and said, you're free to go, somebody made bail, I don't think most folks would say, nah, it's okay, I'll just stay here. But we made bail, I'll wait another day to get free. You're going to be out of there before they change your mind, or before they feel like they got the wrong person they're bailing out, right? You're going to be out. Say, you know what, you made bail, I'm getting out. Well, Jesus made bail for us to be free on the cross. He paid the price that we could be free. We could be free from our burdens, our pain, our fear. What I want to talk about today is some things every one of us are going through in this room. Every one of us. No exception. Even if our, you know, even the children back there are going through these things. Each one of us has a hurt we're carrying or a pain we're carrying. Each one of us has something that we need God to help us with. It could be a fear. Thank you. Amen. It's fine, the church. That's wonderful. It can be a fear we're carrying. It can be a burden we're carrying. It can be a hurt we're carrying. It could be a disappointment we're carrying. It could be something from our past. It could be something we're dealing with today. Or it could even be something for our future that we're worried about of being accomplished. And God wants to free us. We're not supposed to walk this earth. And I've been through it. I've battled it. And we all battle it. Think about how many hours and days and weeks and months out of your life you have lived in bondage. You've lived bound by something in the past. You've been bound by something you're worried about in the future. You're bound by, maybe it's a person in your life you're bound by. You know, we see parents, and this is no offense. I'm just trying to get you free today, okay? We see parents who, and I know I'm a parent of three. I know how hard it is. We see parents who live through their kids their whole life and can never have any peace because all they have on their mind is their child. But you're bound by that. We're not supposed to be bound by that. We're supposed to be free from those things. We're supposed to walk in the freedom God has set us free from. And we can have that today. We can have that freedom now if we'll believe God for it and trust that God wants to give us that. We weren't meant to carry all these burdens. That's why Peter tells us to cast all your burdens on Him, for He careth for you. Give them all to Him. That's what God's there for, to carry those burdens. Because we're not supposed to live every day shackled and chained by what the devil tells us and the lies that he's built around our lives. Because we know the devil's a liar and there's no truth in him. God is what truth. God is truth. And God is love. And it's that love that breaks every bondage and every chain. Just like Paul and Silas they were singing about in prison. And the earth shook and the jail shook and they came out. God delivered them. God can deliver us today. We don't have to keep carrying. I'm not saying we're not going to ever have any battles. But there's things in our lives that we are allowing ourselves to stay captive in that we're supposed to be free from. We're living in this box, and that's all we can see and all we can experience. And God has a whole world out there for us to experience, a whole new world that He wants us to walk in of freedom and joy and peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says. We should walk in joy, peace, meekness, you know, all that stuff. But we don't walk in peace, do we? We live every day tormented. We don't walk in joy because we're so discouraged by battles of life and things that come our ways. We're going to have storms come our way. We're going to have battles come our way. But the good news is if you have Jesus, you have it all. You've overcome. You've already beat the battle. You've already overcome the battle. The victory is yours because Jesus, the victor, lives inside of you. And that gives us hope that, you know what, no matter what I face, God's done faced it. No matter what I've experienced, God's done experienced it. No matter what comes my way, God's not caught off by guard or surprise. He knows what's coming my way, and He's able to defend me and help me and protect me. Just like your situation, it fell in Mocksville because you were supposed to be there. And Melanie pretty much said that to me. She goes, not really in so many words. She said, I wish they were in Statesville, but really what she was saying in her spirit, man, I realized that they need to be in Statesville. And that's what happened. See, that's why God opened that door when it looked like everything was falling apart. He was trying to get you to where you're supposed to be. See, if we could learn to see God in our storms, He's there. I mean, God's in our middle of our storm, sitting there thinking, I'm with you. Just because it's raining, I've not left you. Because it looks impossible, I'm still here. Because all things have seemed to fail, I've not failed. And I'll never fail you. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. But I'm with you always, every day, every moment of your life, to the end of the world. That's who I am. I don't change because the world changes. I don't change because your situation changes. I don't change because your storm changes. I don't change because the weather changes. I'm God, and I'm constant, and I'm faithful. And if you'll just believe me and trust me, watch what I can do, because I am God, and I will always be God, and nothing's going to ever change that. No matter what the world says or what politics say or how the world moves or shifts or whatever they, which way they go, we just follow God. We're like the three Hebrew children. When the music sounds, we just bow the knee and say, you know what? I'm not going to bow the knee to that music. I'm going to bow the knee to my God. That's the only one I'm going to bow to, because He is able to deliver me out of any trial and any storm. He can break any addiction. He can break any stronghold. He can break any chain. God is able to set you free today, right now, in this moment. That's how big and powerful our God is. The Holy Spirit's alive and well and blowing through this land. See, our God is not some distant idol we chant to and hope to God He hears us. He's not something we even read about in the book, some just religious text. Our God is alive and well within every believer. We are the walking, living tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, and we have an active force in us called the Lord Almighty that goes with us in any moment we need, and we call on His name, He is there. When we cry, He wipes our tears. When we laugh, He laughs with us. When we're weak, He's strong for us. When we're afraid, He's brave in our behalf. That's who God is in our lives, if we will just believe that, and we can go free today, because there's nothing worse than being bound. And I'm tired myself of being bound by things around me. I'm tired of being bound. I'm tired of being bound by hurt. I'm tired of being bound by worry. I'm tired of being bound by discouragement. I'm tired of being bound by fear. It's time to break free from that and let God be who He said that He was. It's time for them chains to fall. Today it can happen if you believe. That's who we serve. And man, I'm tired of being like this all the time. Tired of it. I'm tired of that. And God's able to set us free. Look what He says in Isaiah 55. We'll start here with just a few verses. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Everyone. That's all of us here today. If you're thirsty, come to the waters. You have no money, come, buy, eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What God has to give you is no cost to us. It's a free gift He's already paid for. We don't have to buy our way into a miracle or buy our way into deliverance or buy our way into forgiveness or buy our way into redemption. It's a price been paid in full 2,000 years ago. We are redeemed and we are paid for already. We just have to come to where He is at and say, God, I want what You've got. I just want what You have. If we would go to God like we do yard selling on Saturday mornings, we'd have a lot of stuff, wouldn't we? Man, I see these crazy folks at 5 o'clock in the morning out riding around just neighborhoods trying to find a yard sale. There's a flannel shirt for 3 cents. I want to sleep. I mean, really, they'll go around and find every yard sale in town. Big sign, neighborhood yard sale. Man, cars are parked everywhere for that stuff. People love that. We'll go to 4 or 5 grocery stores and get the best deal on tuna, won't we? We'll go to Bylon and get our milk. Go to Food Lion and get our bread. Go to Ingles and get our donuts. Go to Harris Teeter and get our steak. Go to Walmart and get our baby formula. You know, wherever. Go to Aldi's and get our tomatoes. I usually find somebody's garden and go get a few. I'm just playing. But when it comes to things of God, we don't seek them that much. We just accept what comes our way and says it is what it is. And we become so overcome with our storm, we just almost think that's who we're supposed to be. And we're not supposed to be what the world or the devil dictates us to be. We're supposed to be what God says we are to be. We are the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed say so. Hallelujah. Are you redeemed today? Are you bought back? We are His forever. So we ought to let our Lord hear that. God, I'm yours. I'm yours. You know, every kid only has one biological mama. If you've ever been in a place where there's a bunch of kids around, especially when they're little and their voices kind of all sound the same, you know what I'm saying? They don't sound the same. You know what I mean? They're little. You're in a store and you hear the word mama. Don't ever mama look. Oh, not mine. But we hear them. We're calling their name. Kids call out for mama when they have a need. I mean, the word mama is probably the most used word in the child language, I guess. Mama, 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 mama. It gets on our nerves, don't it? It's like the old joke, you know, we teach our kids to walk and talk. When they get older, we try to get them to sit down and shut up. And that kind of how it is. And so You know, just they call out, and when they're calling out because they know that we can, Mama can give them what they need. Don't matter. Mama can give them what they need. They call out Mama. You have a bad dream, you call out Mama most of the time. Most people don't call out Dad. I never call out my dad's name. I'm too scared he'd wake up and get mad. He's my dad. I ain't going to wake him up. He's I ain't going to get my hand cut off, you know what I'm saying? With that sawmill running. So whenever I was sleeping and I'd have a bad dream, you know, I'd either call out Mama in my room, Mama. And Mama didn't have real good hearing, so I had to go in there sometimes the other side of the bed. Mama. I didn't want to wake Dad up. You know, I'm creeping in the bedroom. Mama, I had a bad dream. She'll get up, come in there and lay with me, and everything's better. Just because I call Mama. How do you think God feels when we call his name? You know, Lord, I need you. And I don't need you tomorrow. I need you now. God, I don't need you to show up just when it's convenient. I need you right now, in my moment, God. I need you to show up. See, the Bible says we have an ever-present help in our time of trouble. Present. Once again, not a God we have to try to chant down or do all the right things. He'll hear us, keep all the works and all the law and do all the good stuff. And if we're good enough little boys and girls, he'll answer our prayer. That's not what it's about at all. We have an ever-present help in our time of trouble. If you are troubled, there is help right now for your life. You don't have to walk out of this place today carrying what you brought in. It can be left here and left here for good. And you walk out and leave the chains laying loose up here and say, I'm free and I'm walking out free from everything I've carried in here. But we have to understand God can do that, and we got to be at a point that we want that. You know, some folks, I think, like being bound, not constantly, but have been bound so long that's all they know. It's like being institutionalized. People have been in prison so long, that's all they know. I don't want to be bound. I don't want to get so conformed to being bound, that's my normal way of life. I don't like that. Man, I want to be free. You know, the Bible tells us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has set us free. Be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. But we are free because of what Jesus did. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. We know what this is talking about. We should. That we spend our lives investing in things that don't satisfy. We dabble over here. We dabble over here. We think the right woman, the right man, the right thing will fix our problem, and it doesn't. We find that out very quickly. So we turn to alcohol. We turn to drugs. We turn to sex. We turn to being with the wrong people, the wrong friends. We turn to doing things. We turn and we're trying to, you know, we turn to. And here's what I see with this generation, especially this young generation. Not my generation. I'm not young anymore. The young generation, Angie's generation. That's what I see. My children. But man, they'll believe anything except Jesus. They'll believe in Mother Nature. Well, yeah, that's good. But you know what? Who's over Mother Nature? Father God. Right? They'll believe in all these different philosophies and teachings and all the, you know, feel good energy and, you know, I see the light. I feel so embraced. I feel so complete. Don't you feel it? Yeah, you're spooking me out a little bit. It's in Jesus you get the light. It's in him you feel complete. And so we have all these messages and all these other teachings and doctrines, and people get mad when you try to pin out, look, it's Christ alone. Because that's who I am. That's what I preach. I'm a Christ alone preacher. That's what I preach. Jesus Christ alone, nothing else. I don't preach any of the message but that we are complete and redeemed because of his sacrifice and resurrection. And that if our faith in him, we are forever saved eternally to be in his kingdom. But we have people that are trying to satisfy their appetites with a little bit of this. And here's one reason. If we ever truly want truth, then we are accountable to walk in that truth. And a lot of people don't want to walk in that truth. The Bible's pretty clear. To be saved, we must repent of our sins. Repent, ask forgiveness, call upon the name of the Lord, and we shall be saved. But for many, they're like, what sin? I'm not being penalized because of what Adam did. I'm not a sinner. I'm okay. I do all this stuff. And so we never go along the path of finding Jesus. We simply try to fill it with everything else. And that's why our young people are turning to all the things they turn to. Because the one thing that completes them. You know, I got to brag on my daughter a little bit. And I know I use her, for example, some. And, you know, if I don't like it, oh well, it's my daughter and I love her. I go home the other day. I was out running around. Come home, and Christian was home. And she was on the back patio with Ashley. And she's out there on a chair. She's got her Bible up and reading her Bible. And I looked at her and I says, are you for real? Have you really been fooling me all these years? Are you that good? I mean, that you're out here reading your Bible on a patio at home? I was like, wow. It's pretty neat. And you know what? I can honestly say, Christian has storms and she has problems. But she is very complete. And she's a very happy person. If you know Christian around her, she is a joyful person. You know why she's joyful? Because she really knows who she serves. See, that's the thing. We can talk about God all we want. A lot of people talk about God and, you know about God, but don't know who God is. People that know who God is, they can experience what we're talking about today, the joy and the peace and the love of God. It's a part of her life. See, with Christian, it's not just being here on Sunday. She carries it with her. She has devotional she reads every day. She carries it at her college. She's actively involved as a Christian. Not just turn it off and on when we come to church. It's there. And then I see folks who are so miserable. Folks who have no joy. Folks who have no peace. Folks who just are battered all over the place. If you talk to them very long, they've not really placed their full faith in the Lord. They're trying to do it themselves. I don't want to do it myself, and I can't do it myself. I'm not that strong. I'm not that good to do it myself. Because when I get in the way and I start trying to mess with things, it makes things worse. I've got to learn to step back and trust God in all that I do, in all that I say, and in all of my life. If I really confess Jesus is my Lord, that means He's Lord over all my life, not just the parts that are convenient, or not just the parts that, you know, I can't fix, but He can. It's over all my life. He gave me 3 children. He gave me a wife. I got to trust He's able to take care of my family. No matter what I see, no matter what I think, no matter what comes our way. God, You're my protector. You're my provider. You're my shield. You're my deliverer. You're my healer. You're my counselor. You're everything I need You to be. You're the peace of my home and the joy of my heart. You are everything, God, in my life I need You to be. When we know God is everything and all that we need, we'll quit searching for other junk. It's kind of like when you find that one you're going to marry. I mean, if you're a good boy, I'll use men for example because we're the scoundrels, right? Thank you. When you find that one you're going to marry, do you keep looking? Not if you're a good boy, you don't. I'm going to marry that girl. Hey, you want to go out? Really? You don't do that. You found the one you're going to marry. So you spend your life looking for that soulmate. You know, I remember asking Mom, how am I going to know who the right one is? I went out with girls, nothing, you know, no magic, no pizzazz, you know, kissed a few girls, nothing there. Just, you know, if anything, it was just, you know, they were honored. But it was nothing there. And so I said, Mom, how do you know? How do you know? And my mom gave a very wise, deep answer. So young people, here's how you know. It's very wise, very deep. Mama, write it down. She says, son, you'll just know. Okay, thanks, Mom. I helped a lot. I'll just know. But you know what? She was right, because when I saw Melanie, I knew that was the one I was going to marry. So you know what? I didn't look no more, did I, Melanie? I didn't look no more. She was the one. The dating game was over. All the trying to search was over. It was such a relief and peace. I got the one. God, You gave me the one. Wow, that's a piece of my life now that's satisfied. We don't keep searching once we know. The reason people are searching and going in so many different roads is because they haven't discovered what they need yet. When we discover Jesus, we discovered it all. And that's what was missing, was Jesus out of my life. I had a good job, had a good family, had a nice car, had a nice house. My health is good. But there's just something not quite. There's something. I don't understand what that missing thing is. It's that relationship with God. that each human being has desire for. You know why there's so many different teachings and doctrines and even cults? It's because every human being is searching for something bigger and higher than themselves. So they gravitate toward this. They know there's something bigger than them. Every nation, every language, every race, every religion, every human being on earth knows inside there's something bigger than them. Even the atheist believes that. You know what's bigger than their lives? Themselves. I'm bigger than anything else. I mean, every person knows there's something more than just what they're seeing. And so they search for it, and they search for it, and they get on all these wrong roads. Whenever Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I'm it. No man comes to the Father except by me. He says, I am the living bread. I am the light of the world. Any man that takes of this water will never thirst again. See, Jesus is like water. Water is the only drink that satisfies. I don't care what you say. I don't care how alcoholic you are. It's the only drink that satisfies. It's the only drink that quenches your thirst. Soft drinks, sweet tea, lemonade, all that makes you thirstier. It's a proven fact. I mean, it removes water out of your body as you drink it. And so it doesn't quench. Good old H2O is the best beverage to quench your real thirst. As a kid playing backyard football and backyard basketball with my friends, there was nothing better when I got thirsty than an old garden hose out of the faucet. Now some of us like, is that bottled? Is that Le Bleu? No, it's called Iron County Sewer System. And you know what? It's pretty good when you're thirsty. Y'all remember that in the day? At your friend's house, you crank the garden hose up and drink out of the garden hose. That water would be ice cold coming out of there. We didn't think about impurities and what all's in there. We just was thirsty. And it worked. It satisfied. See, the world's like the soft drinks, the tea, all that stuff. It may taste good at first, and it may do a little something for you, but then you're still left feeling empty and dry and thirsty. But when you get Jesus, man, when you really get him in your life, not just in your mind or not just a thought process of who he is, but when he comes into your life, into your heart and lives, then you're satisfied. I'm not saying there are no storms. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of storms among Christians. Being saved doesn't mean you're exempt from storms. Doesn't mean you're exempt from battle. Doesn't mean that everything goes away. The devil's going to fight and fight and fight. But here's the difference. When Christ is in you, you have someone to help fight with you and for you. So you let God do that fight, and you let him do the battle. Because he, greater is he, the Bible says, in you than that which is in the world. The Spirit of God's greater. Let him fight your battle. Go to the next verse. Incline your ear. Listen up, he's saying, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. See, God is always speaking to us throughout our lives. How many times are we taking time to listen to that and call on him and hear it? Or do we just pass our way and say, tomorrow, God? Not now. You don't know, God, I'm not ready for this. But he's ready for you. And if he's ready for you, then you're ready for that. I promise you. One of the fears people have, or worries they have, a lot of people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, I'm not living right, and I'm not doing things right. But I'm afraid if I get saved and go through all that and try to get my heart to God, I'm not going to change. Well, that should never be a question in your mind. Because if God's really calling you, he will help change you. If it's you doing your own, yeah, you're not going to change. Because I don't believe in head salvation. I don't believe it's just something we just wake up and do. You know what? I think I'm going to get saved. I ain't tried it. I'm going to go to church this morning, tried everything else. I'll get saved. I mean, I'm not saying you can't get saved that way, but I'm saying that if you feel that way, it's because God has truly put that in your heart to do, that you need salvation. It's not something we just do at random, like going and getting a Big Mac. I'm going to get saved. God's got to speak that to you. God's got to draw you. See, we don't know we need to be saved or set free until we know that we're lost and we're bound. It's like the elephant the circus you hear about when they train the elephants. I've used the story many times. They chain a big old chain around its leg to train an elephant. And so they do that for a few weeks to keep it, you know, trained. And then to keep it in one spot, and then after a few weeks, they take the chain off his leg. Well, the elephant still thinks it's chained. It's been programmed, brainwashed, into believing that it can't go anywhere. Well, dog fence, same way, right? You get them underground dog fences, electric shock. You know, them dogs learn not to, I mean, some of them get out, I know, but they learn how far they can go. You can turn it off. They don't know you turn it off. They still think the border's there, so they don't go no further. There are folks that are bound, and you may be bound today and hadn't really even realized this moment. Yeah, I am bound. I'm not really free. I am still carrying junk I need help with. I'm carrying hurts, pain. I'm carrying stuff that I don't want to carry one more day. It's changing who I am even. Because we carry stuff long enough, it'll change who we are. It'll conform us to something we don't want to be. And God is saying, just let me have it and give it to me. I mean, we sing about God. We talk about God. We say we pray to God. Don't we believe God can take what we're battling and get it out of our lives? I mean, I believe in the God of deliverance. I believe God still delivers. I believe God still heals. I believe God still restores and resurrects. I believe God can take any problem we bring to Him, and if not one problem is too big, He says, I can't fix that for you. He says, I've been waiting to fix that for you. Finally, you give it to me. God's not going to force Himself on our lives. We can't say, well, God, why haven't you done anything? Why don't you fix this? We've got to come to Him and, God, I need you to help me and take this out of my life. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. This is the last place. This is in Luke 4. So he's talking about Jesus. So he came to Nazareth, Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and his custom was, as he went to the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all of who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, I love this, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He's saying, I am the one Isaiah prophesied about. I am the one that said he would come. I am he. I am the one that can heal your broken heart. I am the one that came to set the captives free. I am the one to come to deliver the oppressed. I am he. And not only was he him then, he's him now. And that's what's important. The same Jesus that proclaimed this, it's the same Jesus today that came to heal us and to set us free and to restore that which is broken and to fix that which is lost. God still can do that today, right now. He's an ever-present help in our time of trouble if we're willing to let Him take our problem and give it to Him. I mean, who wouldn't want to get rid of all that stuff that we carry? And you know what? There's things we can't fix. There are uncontrollable things we are never going to change. So we got to have peace that God knows what He's doing. And even if it doesn't change, we can have the peace of God to walk with us every day, having peace about the situation. I got peace. Can't explain it, but I've got peace. I shouldn't have joy, but I do have joy. The problem's still there. For some reason, I'm just not worried about it anymore. Stop bothered by it. It's just been fixed. God just took it off, and I can enjoy life. Remember when you used to be happy? We're in a very oppressive generation, aren't we? Oppressive generation. Just so much stuff keeps piling in our lives, it seems like. And if we get a cycle built where it just seems to accumulate. It's like everything around us is going wrong. And we're so pressed on every side. Because, see, the kingdom of God is coming forth. The kingdom of God is being birthed. I've been saying for a long time, we're in the travailing process right now. You know, we don't see the full birth, but we're in that process of giving birth. And that kingdom of God will be established. As sure as we are here today, there is a kingdom of God that is alive and well, waiting on people, and the saints of God are going to rise up and take their rightful position in that kingdom. Death will be swallowed up forever through the victory of Christ. That's coming. So we're pressed on every side as the enemy tries to entrap us and make us lose that joy of the journey. You know, it's kind of like we've all seen National Lampoon's Vacation, Chevy Chase, Wally World. He was so excited. Remember, he's at the living room before they leave in Ohio. He's in the living room, and the kids are playing the video game, and he puts his map up there. He says, here's what we're going to do, kids. We're going to travel. And he was just so ecstatic, a two-week vacation on the road with kids. He's a nutcase. Who would beat their kids 2 weeks in a row? Are you kidding me? So 2 weeks in a station wagon. It all starts out wrong at the very beginning of the movie, right? He's got the station wagon special order for the trip. He goes, that ain't the car I ordered. So he makes it work. Don't half run, making all kinds of noises, trying to tell his wife, oh, that's just how it sounds. You know, it's a Ford, whatever. You know, so that's how it sounds. So then he leaves, and of course, it's disaster after disaster on that trip. I mean, one thing happens after the other. Money issues and car issues, and he goes off a cliff, and a tire blowout, and he walks to the desert, and you know, it's just one thing after the other going wrong with this guy. Then Aunt Edna died in the back seat, bless her little heart, and they drop her off in a garbage bag out here. I mean, it's just disaster after disaster. Then finally the moment comes. He pulls in. Now the first clue to me, because I've been to Disney World, if I went to Disney World and there was no car in the parking lot, I would know something's wrong. I don't care how early I got there, something's wrong. He pulls in and parks. His wife looks around. Well, Clark, where's everybody at? Oh, don't worry, honey. You know, he does his motion. We just early. We got here early. Why you park so far out? So we first wanted to leave. Oh, you're so smart, Clark. So then it has the Chariots of Fire theme playing, right? Dun, 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 dun. They're running. They finally 2 weeks from Ohio to California, and they're there. And they're running through that empty parking lot to get to the entrance of Wally World. And they're running. Da, 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 and he gets there, and there's a moose standing there. And there's a sign on the moose. So the music stops, he looks at the sign, reads it, hits the little button on the moose. I'm sorry, folks. We're closed for 2 weeks to do renovations. I'm sorry, come back. And at last, he starts punching the moose in the nose. You're kidding me. This journey has been nothing but pure HE double hockey sticks. And now that I'm here, I'm broke. We've had somebody die. My kids hate me. The car's broke. And I can't even enjoy it. Are you kidding me? See, all that to say this. We need to enjoy the ride. Because we know where we're going to end up. And there'll be no talking moose saying, sorry, Melody, the kingdom of God's not here. Down to hell you go. That's not going to happen. We have a kingdom of God waiting on us. And so we can enjoy the journey. If mama don't want to go, oh well, as the old song says. Daddy don't want to go, brother don't want to go, child don't want to go. We're going to go on with our Jesus just the same. Let no matter what comes against us, I'm staying on the path God's called me, and I'm not going to let the devil take me off of that. I am his forevermore. It's time we know where we're going. We know our destination. Glory, it's the joy of the journey. Man, if we had Super Bowl tickets, I know some of you wouldn't care. I'd be like crazy over that. If somebody said, James, I got you two Super Bowl tickets. Two Super Bowl tickets for the next Super Bowl. Man, I would be every day, man. I'd be like, I'd have a countdown on my clock. 342 days, 6 hours, 12 minutes, and 3 seconds. Man, I'd be playing, you know, because I wouldn't want just two because I wouldn't know who to take. I mean, I should take Melanie, but kind of a guy thing, you know what I'm saying? And so I wouldn't know which guy to pick. Everybody would be mad at me. But man, I'd be so excited to know that was on the way. We have our ticket punched too. On the way. Virgil, our dear brother Virgil, as he passed away, his ticket was punched and he got to experience the fullness of his faith. He's not in that ground up in Wilkes-Barre. He's not in a casket laying there. He is in the presence of God. His spirit's very alive and well. Very aware of where he's at. That's what we have waiting on us. Do you want to be free today? You can be free today. You can be free. Mel, come up here. I'm going to have you sing that song again. You sung it a while ago, the Grace song, just in a minute. I'm going to have Melanie sing a song for our end of our service here. Here's what I want to ask you to do. You got something you need to let go of today. I mean, it needs to be gone. You got a worry. You got a fear. You got a burden. There's just something that's keeping you in bondage, and you're just not free. You're carrying it with you. You're going to bed thinking about it. You're waking up thinking about it. You're driving people around you crazy talking about it. You're consumed by it. It's just something that you just can't get free from. It haunts you. Everywhere you go, there it is. You go here, and there it is, and you can't get away from it. God can take that away. God can heal. God can repair. God can mend, and God can fix. And you can leave here feeling a lot better than you walked in here with. You can leave here knowing, okay, God, I really gave it to you. It's yours, and I'm not taking it back. I'm walking out of here free from that because I've done all I can do. I've went as far as I can go. I've stressed as much as I can stress. I've prayed and pleaded as much as I can do all that. I've begged. Nothing's changed. Nothing's resolved. So, God, I'm coming to you, the one who can make everything right, and I'm going to give it to you. We need to be free from those things. It may be something you don't even realize. It may be so deep in you that you think you're living with it okay, but you're really not. It's kind of like me and Melanie one day, we're talking, it's been a while back, and we were talking about something. She started crying, talking about it. You know, she's talking about how she's over that, you know, it's been years, da, 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 she's over. And I looked at her, I said, you're not over it at all. Why are you crying? No, why are you crying? You're not really over it. You say you are, you think you are, you put that away in your mind, but you're crying about it, talking about it. You're not over it. There's still something there that you've not got full healing for. That may be you today. Maybe you think you've got it in control. You keep it in control. You're okay with it. But it's still there. Here's how you know some ways you're not over things. Number one, if you cry when you talk about it every time, you're not over it. If you avoid talking about it, you're not over it. I don't want to talk about it. You're not over it. If you're trying to avoid that. If you're defensive about it, you're not over it. If your defense is up. Or if you're making excuses, you're not over it. If you're trying to justify the situation, you're not over it. Well, that's just how it is, and it's okay, and you're not over it. You're justifying it. To be over it means you're in peace about it. You let it go. I'm not worried about it no more. I'm free from it. God's got it, and I'm not going to spend one more waking moment or sleeping moment dreaming about it or thinking about it. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for peace and joy and healing in my life. If that is you today, I just want you, as you're singing this song, we'll open this altar up this morning. I know it's old-fashioned, not contemporary enough for a lot of people, but to me, the altar is still very special and sacred. And I want to open it up, and if you have any need you just want to talk to God about while this song was being sung, I want you to just come spend a little bit of time during this song. Just give it to God. Just come up here if you want to bow, if you want to stand. I think it's important that we make an active proclamation to come forward to say, God, I'm making an effort to say, here I am, and I need some help. No alcoholic or drug addict gets help by being silent. They come forward. You need help, come forward. Nobody will know your business. It's between you and God. We're not going to pass the mic around and say, what's your issue, what's your problem? Oh, really? Oh, man, you do crack? I didn't know that. Hey, I mean, we ain't going to do that. Whatever it is that's got you bound, it's you and God. Maybe something your wife don't even know about, your husband don't know about, your children don't know about, but it's something you're carrying, and you need somebody to give it to you. You need somewhere to dump it off. This is the place to dump it off right now. If that's you, just come while the song's being sung. Talk to God a little bit. Pray. If you want to come up together, if it's husbands and wives, if it's somebody, family, that maybe you need family healing. Maybe some family that needs healed. Come as a family together and just pray together. Whatever that is, give it to God today. Go ahead, Jeremy.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all? Over the edge with no one there to break their fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved? Give giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough. And what do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home and everything is out of their control? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember there is nothing greater than grace. What do you say to someone whose life is on the line and they're unsure what happens after their last breath in time? What do you say to someone who's built a wall they can't break through and it's so hard for them to hear the truth? There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to say, remember there is nothing greater than grace.
Your presence to be in this room in a special way. Touch every heart that is hurting. Lord, there are so many battles we encounter in our lifetime. There's so many things that come into our lives that just stick to us and it's hard to get rid of. But God, one touch from you, one passing by of your Holy Spirit can make all things new and fresh. And I pray burdens be lifted, healing come forth out of this place today, that we leave this place with our chains loose laying here and we walk out free, God, that our joy is restored, our peace is restored, our authority is restored, our power is restored, that we walk in all you've called us to walk in and learn to trust you in those things we can't see and we don't understand, but know and be still and know, as you said, that you are God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have visited us today and you have made a way for us to leave here free from what we walked in here with, that our burden is now light and we leave here with joy and with peace that we didn't have before. You, God, have made that way. And we give you praise for your Holy Spirit in this place in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.